talking about our home. Talking about me and you. Things we'll do or say at our home.
Talking about our home.
Not talking about a one night stand. I want to be your man. I said a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Custom Home and Remodel Show, and Charleston's online home show, newhomecharleston.com. This is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
Always something happening, and it's usually quite loud. Our mum, she's so house proud. Nothing ever slows her down, and a mess is not allowed. Our house in the middle of our street. Our house.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. That was Our House by Madness, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home. And if you would like to request we play a home theme song at the beginning of our radio show, please visit Charleston Home and Design Magazine's Facebook page and make a comment requesting a song. And we will play your request, and we will send you a free Charleston Home and Design Magazine t-shirt. Just for making that request. And special thanks to our show producer, Colin Voigt, for choosing those home-themed songs that we play at the beginning of our radio show each week. In addition to our radio show, Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the three custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which is coming up January 27th through the 29th at the brand new Gilliard Center in downtown Charleston. Also, we organize the Charleston's only open-air home show, the Charleston Home and Outdoor Living Festival, which happens every April at Volvo Car Stadium on Daniel Island. And the Charleston Fall Home Show, which happens every August, also at the brand new Gilliard Center in beautiful downtown Charleston. Well, today we've got an excellent show lined up for you. I want to take a moment and wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And a few weeks ago, we were very honored to be invited to be a part of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Awards, Design and Honor Awards that they have every 4 years, I believe. And it was a great evening. They had a wonderful setup down at the South Carolina Aquarium, and Charleston Home and Design Magazine was very honored to be invited to be a part of this American Institute of Architects Design Award Ceremony. And, you know, we have that word design in our name, Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and we take that very seriously, and we do everything we can to support the design community in Charleston, both interior designers and also architects. And so this afternoon, you're going to be hearing a number of interviews from architects that were at the event, some of the award winners and so forth, and really get a chance to hear directly from them about the projects that they were involved with that won awards, also get inside the mind of some of these architects. So It was a great evening, and a special thanks to AIA Charleston for inviting us. Have a great weekend. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and we're here at the South Carolina Aquarium on Charleston Harbor for the AIA Charleston
Design and Service Awards ceremony going on tonight. It's October 28th and a beautiful evening here in downtown Charleston. We are talking with Aaron Bowman with Leolio Architecture. He is the Design Award Chair for the event tonight. How are you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing well, Tim. We're really glad that you're able to join us here tonight.
Absolutely. Well, Charleston Home and Design Magazine, we're a big supporter of the design community in Charleston, and so we're honored to be here. Aaron, take a moment and kind of tell our audience about the AIA Charleston Design and Service Awards happening tonight.
Okay, absolutely. Well, this is a really special event for us. We only do this every 3 years. And so it's an opportunity for our group, which is the American Institute of Architects. It's a national organization. And so our local branch here in Charleston, we get together every 3 years, and we have a juried design awards program. So with us tonight is Brandon Pace, who's an architect out of Knoxville, Tennessee. He was our head juror. And so they reviewed the projects, and then we give various levels of awards. But what's really great about it, obviously, we always try to have it in a fun space. Being architects, we appreciate a great building. So the aquarium here is a really amazing space. So it's a fellowship event for us as much as anything. It's an opportunity to get together, to look at our colleagues' work, and we always phrase it as celebrating the best in architecture in the Lowcountry. And there's some pretty astounding projects that sort of fly under the radar. If you're sort of living downtown and don't get much off the peninsula, you might not see what some of your colleagues are doing over in West Ashley or even across the state. So it's really exciting for us to get together and, again, just sort of celebrate everybody's work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the South Carolina Aquarium is definitely an amazing space. And can you kind of paint a picture for our listeners and kind of describe what we have set up here and what guests will experience when they arrive?
Certainly. Well, we're in the main atrium, so anyone who's been to the aquarium should be familiar with that space. It's the one with the large round fish tank prominently featured here in the floor. So basically, we have a small stage that's set up and, you know, two large monitors where we're displaying our project images. Then we have a series of chairs and cocktail tables. So the evening will start with a cocktail hour where we've got some food and drinks. And again, we have that opportunity just for fellowship and socializing, catching up with people that maybe you haven't seen in a while. And then we'll have a formal presentation of awards. And that will include service awards as well as design awards. So we think it's important to recognize not only, you know, our colleagues who are making great buildings, but to also recognize their partners in the community. Personally, as an architect, I view my job as a community builder. It's what really motivates me. It's what's interesting for me. I see my job as being an active participant in making my community a better place. Mm-hmm. And many architects feel this way as well. So we think it's important to actually recognize our partners in the nonprofit sector, or even engineers and allied organizations that are also sort of working collaboratively, again, in pursuit of using design to improve our communities, mm-hmm, and our lives. Mm-hmm. So that's important to us as well.
The one thing about good architecture, I think, is that it doesn't necessarily make you say, oh, that's good architecture. It's just sort of there. And on the flip side, something that's poorly constructed or just does not appeal to the eye, you can look at that and say, wow, that's just terrible architecture.
Yeah, immediately. Yeah, it's tough because I've often heard it said good design is 99% invisible. Really effective and successful design often sort of integrates and works so well that you don't notice it. And again, from a kind of community perspective, I enjoy those types of buildings. There's certainly a time and a place for the sort of monument building that wants to stand out and stand proud and sort of announce itself. But there's also a real skill in successfully integrating into an urban fabric. And that's definitely a challenge that we have here in Charleston. I mean, that's what most of the conversations at the VAR are about, right? How well does a building fit in with a context that we all agree is very successful, that's this great city? I think that's a great part of practicing here in Charleston, is you have this continual challenge to try to contribute to the built environment and work with what's here, but also progress it forward. I think most of us feel we obviously have a a long history of very successful traditional buildings, and we still have a lot of traditional style buildings, but we're seeing more and more modern buildings that are popping up. So it's an interesting challenge for us. Tonight in our awards, we have a pretty good blend of kind of traditional buildings and more modern buildings. So I think it's going to be exciting, and you know, I'll be excited as we hopefully have these, you know, awards published at various media outlets for people to see the projects that were selected this year.
Mm-hmm. And this is more than just residential architecture, correct?
That's correct, yeah. So this year, in the past, we've done a sort of residential and commercial category. This year, we actually broke it out into several categories where we had an interior architecture, which really focused on what a lot of architects in the city do, which is the kind of interior upfit of an existing building, say on King Street. And then we had the sort of typical new construction, ground up new construction. We had a category for preservation or adaptive use projects where maybe you're working with an existing building, doing a little restoration, maybe a small addition. And then we had our residential category as well. So we had a really interesting blend of projects, and we've actually got a slideshow looping right now of all the entries. So it's kind of interesting. You can see everything that was submitted. But yeah, I mean, again, there's a variety of practices and buildings that are being built. So we think it's important to try to recognize the spectrum that happens here in Charleston.
For any commercial structures or public structures, there's no doubt that an architect is involved, but with residential, sometimes an architect is involved and sometimes they are not. Why is it important to have an architect involved in a project?
Well, I think the biggest selling point for an architect being involved in residential is I do think there's a more creative approach to problem solving. Often people kind of think, oh, I really need to get a contractor to get my house built. And you certainly do. That's not what our license is to do. Our license is to design. But more often than not, contractors have simply done one thing and they'll tend to just sort of repeat it. So I think the value of architecture and really embracing the potential of design is a creative solution to a problem that you might not even know you have. I mean, often I've done residential architecture in the past and somebody will come in and, oh, we really need to add on a living room or something, you know, they have this specific thing and they want this room and it needs to be this big. And as, you know, a designer, I sit back and say, well, let's think about the problem. Let's talk about what you're really trying to achieve. And it really turns out it's not so much that they have this massive space crunch that requires an addition, but you could work with something within your existing home. And maybe what they really need is to move a bathroom over here and that frees up space, you know. So it ends up being, I think, this sort of interesting fact-finding where you're trying to really drill down to what the root of the problem is and then design around that versus simply trying to come in with an answer and just sort of build that offhand.
Well, something that I think speaks volumes is anyone who has worked with an architect to build a home in the past, if they decide to build another home, they always hire an architect. It's almost like they're in the know. They understand the value that an architect brings to a project, and there's just no doubt that they will have an architect involved.
Yeah, I think once you really go through the process and you see how many decisions actually have to be made, you know, there's a real value. I mean, a lot of people think what we do is draw plans and then it kind of stops. And that's really kind of the first 10%. You know, sticking with the house example, you know, once it starts to get under construction, I mean, somebody's got to pick out every hinge and every door and every doorknob and, you know, the species of wood for that door and the stain on that door and everything else in the room. And, you know, having a professional designer to come in with a cohesive vision, which is what an architect brings to the table, is a holistic view of the project, and also someone to help you manage it. So maybe we're not making every decision, but we're a third party in the triangle of the owner, contractor, and architect. It sort of helps manage the process, helps things stay on schedule, helps you understand what deadlines should be reasonable, how much should you pay them in any given milestone, that sort of thing. So that whole, we call that construction administration, that whole service is a major part of what we do, but it's something that a lot of people don't see. They just sort of see the kind of pretty pictures, the plans up front, the concept of it, and then the photos of the built structure. But there's a whole series of meetings and things that happen in between.
Well, some folks might think twice about hiring an architect because of the fees involved, but I will tell you, the payback will come when you sell the house. You will get more money. You will enjoy the house or the building much, much more than if an architect was not involved. We had an architect involved when we built a house, and a week doesn't go by where I just sort of, you know, in the back of my mind, make a mental note about, gosh, I would have never thought of doing this or that or the other thing. The architect is bringing so much more to the table. As the owner of that structure, you are getting so much more than you would have on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think that's true, and I'm glad to hear that you had a great positive experience with an architect. And I think the resale value that you talk about is a really key point that, you know, I mean, we're in an era, frankly, with HGTV and other channels where the kind of home renovation and flipping market has been sort of homogenized, and there's this sort of expectation of, oh, I've got to do this. I've got to have this many. My master bedroom has to be 14 by 14, and I need a master suite and all of these things. And I think really drilling down and being creative and selective about where you really invest your design effort and really identifying the things that are important for you and your family that are going to be living in that home. I mean, that's what I always enjoyed about residential is the personal connection. You know, this is somebody's house. It's not just their office that, if my office sucks, who cares? I get to go home at the end of the day. But if you go home to a house that sucks, you know, that's kind of the worst case scenario. So it's very personal, which makes it very challenging in a lot of ways. But it is so rewarding to see the owner sort of walk in and just be so astonished at how well everything turned out. And it always gives me a good feeling. And I know that they're going to love it and they're going to enjoy it. I mean, the funny thing is they get a good resale value, but then once people go through it, they don't want to sell the homes.
That's true. Will folks be able to see photographs of the projects up for awards here tonight on the AIA Charleston website?
Yes, they will. We'll definitely push them through on our Facebook page, and our website is www.aiacharleston.org, and so we will have them on a link up there as well.
Okay, great. Well, we've been talking with architect Aaron Bowman with Leolio Architecture. He's the Design Award Chair here at the AIA Charleston Design and Service Awards. Thanks so much for having us here, Aaron.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Thanks for being here.
I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine here at the AIA Charleston Design and Service Awards at the South Carolina Aquarium on a beautiful Charleston Harbor. And now we're talking with interior architect Cameron Wilson with LS3P Architects. How you doing, Cameron?
Doing great.
Good. Love the name Cameron. That's the name of my 12-year-old daughter.
Oh, hey, very good.
Cameron, what kind of projects do you have up for awards here tonight?
Well, we have four. The first one is Le Creuset, the French cookware company. We did their North America headquarters office. That was the one that we won for. We also issued a project for the Vendu, which we also won an award for. Two Keys Public House, which is in Somerville, which was fun. It was a pool bar. The fellow came to us, didn't have a lot of funds, but we had a lot of enthusiasm, and the project turned out great. Then the last one was Gray Star. We did a space for them for their millennials, and it was fun. Again, it was taking pieces and parts, putting them together in the most cost-effective way, and the outcome was pretty sweet. So.
And these are all renovations, correct?
They are renovations. That was part of the criteria this year in entering the awards, is that we provide projects where we're taking something that existing and renovating it. So.
Talk about the Le Creuset project. That's the one that's the building over near California Dreaming. Is that right?
Yes, that's interesting history. Le Creuset, the French cookware company, decided to put their North America headquarters right on that marsh area. Beautiful, beautiful scenery overlook, but the building not so much. And initially we were looking at tearing the building down because there were so many things wrong with it. But there were some code issues that wouldn't allow for us to do that. And so we ended up completely redoing the interior and raising the ceilings because they were very low. So structurally, we had to raise the ceilings inside. We put new windows, new roof. We put new restrooms in. We put new all new HVAC and elevators. So basically, it was almost completely rebuilt. What I think was the real synergy, I guess, about that project was the collaboration between the owner and the design team. They are an exciting company because they deal with design, and so do we, and so they see the value of design. And it's always fun working and collaborating with a client that sees the value of design. And we got done with the project. They started to build it and realized there was over $250,000 worth of damage underneath. So we quickly had to redesign some portions of it while we were building it to accommodate for those structural changes to be fixed. So, but it's all about the senses, the sight, the smell, the touch, the taste. They have a culinary portion that we did, a cookware culinary room. And the visual sight of that marsh, the smells of the pluff mud and everything surrounding that. But it's very experiential and very clean space. We wanted to make sure that the cookware was the thing that was highlighted more than anything. So everything is white. And it works well to show off their very colorful cookware. If you're familiar with their cookware, many years ago, almost 100 years ago now, there was an enameler who met another individual who made cast iron pots, and they got together. And there's problems with cast iron when it's not coated. So they created this enameled cookware. One of the things we want to do is also highlight the history of that company. So when you come in, there's a conference room, and we designed these glass boxes. And within those glass boxes are all this vintage cookware from 100 years ago, some of their first things. And we put them in these glass boxes, and we slip them back and forth. So the design is pretty intriguing. And it was just a very fun project, very great client to work with. And the contractor as well, HIT Contracting, did a great job. And that's part of that whole team approach.
You mentioned that you are an interior architect. How does that contrast to a regular architect?
Well, I think the emphasis is more on the interior. I've always had a passion for the interior because that's where people live in buildings, and obviously it's important to have a great looking shell. At the end of the day, that's where people live, and so you want to be able to provide value for them. So I think that's kind of just taking that passion and incorporating it and focusing on the interior.
What is it about that appeals to you as an interior architect when you walk into a building that is well designed versus maybe one that's not?
Attention to detail. That's the biggest takeaway for me. Taking a client's program and making it custom suited for that application, and thinking through all the details so that everything has a purpose.
And in graphic design, they talk about white space being important. Whenever I encounter a space that's well designed, there's just like a lot of elbow room versus maybe a space that sort of feels confined. Maybe the ceilings are sort of lower, and there's just too much going on in the room. It may not be something that you can speak about, but it's just a sort of a feeling that you get.
Well, I think Mies was correct when he said less is more. I think in any art form, being able to take it at its most minimal essence. We were in New England a few weeks ago, and we went through a Shaker village, and that's what they did. They took elements and created actually works of art that were very functional using beautiful materials, and doing it in such a way that they subtracted anything that wasn't essential. And I like that. I like the whole idea of essentialism as opposed to non-essentialism, where you've just got things there for really no purpose at all, but you know, that you've thought through, you've gotten the client's understanding of what they're looking for, and you've provided for them what's essential and what's beautiful, and you've chosen beautiful materials, and you've detailed them in such a way that that it comes across.
Does your mind ever turn off when you're maybe at a restaurant or something, or are you always sort of evaluating the space?
Well, I think everybody, depending on what you do, my brother-in-law's a dentist, so he looks at everybody's smile. You know, it just depends on what you do for a living. My daughter, who is with me, is a doctor of physical therapy, so she's probably always looking at the way people walk and their gait. I look at details constantly, and when my wife and I travel, you know, we come back and all I've got is details, and she goes, "Where's the people?" You know, it's like, yeah, I kind of forgot. I got kind of into the details, but I love what I do. So,
how can folks get more information about these projects designed by LS3P?
Well, you can give me a call or contact me at CameronWilson@LS3P.com. I'd be happy to provide any information I can.
Okay, great. We've been talking with Cameron Wilson, an interior architect with LS3P Architects. Thanks so much, Cameron.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and now we're talking with Carol Wheeler with Goff D'Antonio Architecture. How you doing, Carol?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Just fine, thank you. Carol, Goff D'Antonio, you folks have how many projects submitted for awards tonight?
We submitted two new construction projects, mm-hmm. A retail project and a lower school for Mason Prep.
Talk about each project a little bit.
So Mason Prep School, I've been told it won an award, so I'm not sure yet what it will be. But it was a school including two kindergarten classrooms and first and second grade. Mm-hmm. And it was a little challenging because it's located in a flood zone and it was an addition to an existing school. And so we had to elevate the building and also wanted to integrate the new architecture into the existing appearance. So
how high up did you have to elevate the school?
We just have a three-story building and basically two classroom levels over parking. So we use that flood zone as parking. Mm-hmm.
And actually, that ends up serving a nice purpose too, because parking is such a premium here in Charleston, and it creates the parking opportunity underneath while also addressing the flood issue.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's the way we did it is we screened the parking with chalkboards and decorative metal louvers, so that we can actually transform the outdoors into a classroom, so the kids could use the chalkboards and some of the bench and stair elements we put into an outdoor courtyard to use it as a classroom and be outdoors while learning.
That's very creative. That's one of the many things that only an architect could think of.
Well, I wouldn't say that. We worked together with the school very well. It was a very great, very good client, and the school has innovative thoughts, you know, in their curriculum, and so we wanted to make that visible in the architecture as well. Mm-hmm. So we integrated a lot of common learning areas, and we also used, for example, cisterns to collect the rainwater to teach the kids about sustainability. So we tried to include some of those interesting elements into the architecture.
And how old are cisterns, and you know, how long have people been using those?
Well, I mean, for thousands of years, but these are more, you know, corrugated metal cisterns, or, you know, contemporary ones. But we put them into the courtyard, and the kids would see that while they have an outdoor class, for example, and they would see how the rainwater is collected.
That's great. And what about the other project?
And the other project is right at downtown Charleston at the intersection of King and Calhoun Street. And it was an old retail building that was vacant for a long time. And now we renovated that for three or four different retail spaces.
Is that the one that has the rooftop top deck used to be a yes. bar there?
Yes, it used to be the terrace at Marion Square, and now it's a smaller rooftop bar. Yeah.
And that building has been renovated, I don't know how many times. What's it like when you must expect there to be all sorts of challenges and surprises when you come across a project like that?
It's always surprising when you, for example, you're trying to respect the existing structure, but you maybe want to increase the openings to get more daylight into the building, and then suddenly you see the way it was originally constructed is not what you would expect. Mm-hmm. So these kind of surprises you have to deal with, once the construction started. Mm-hmm.
Well, how can folks get more information about Goff D'Antonio Architecture?
You can go to our website, goffdantonio.com, or call us 843-577-2163.
All right, great. We've been talking with Caro Wheeler with Goff D'Antonio Architects. Thanks so much, Caro.
Bye.
I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. We're here at the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Design and Service Awards here at the South Carolina Aquarium in downtown Charleston, right on the Charleston Harbor. And now we're talking with architect Jay White with Leolio Architecture. How are you doing, Jay?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Good. Thanks. Take a moment and tell everyone about Leolio Architecture.
Well, we have focused our practice on public architecture, preservation, community buildings, educational buildings, and generally anything that requires a high degree of public insight and public input.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And Leolio Architecture has several projects that are up for awards here. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the projects?
Well, we've submitted four different projects, I believe. One is a restoration project, multi-phase, of the U.S. Custom House that is here in Charleston, which is a historic structure at the end of Market Street. Another is...
What was involved with that renovation?
Just about everything. It has been mistreated for nearly 100 years since it was finished, and part of our job was to return it to its original glory, make it watertight, and restore its original finishes.
What kinds of challenges? So there was a lot of leaking going on?
The biggest challenge, that there are certain spaces you can't go into in a building like that because U.S. Border Patrol and Customs are in that space, and so it's a little bit like flying blind.
Were there any surprises that you came across in that project?
Yes, all of them. No, it actually was the net result was actually fairly straightforward, but we only knew what we were dealing with after we'd taken the building apart. Part of the problem with the building is that we needed to make the building waterproof in ways that had not been in the old days, because the old days they didn't bother to air condition spaces. Now that we do, it changes the dynamics of the interior.
With this project, the U.S. Customs House being in the historic district, were you able to use any kind of modern building techniques in order to restore that building?
Yes, as long as they were invisible. We had to make. There are a lot of special techniques that we use, but all of them are buried within the construction. They didn't change the appearance of the building in any way.
And what other projects did Leolio Architecture submit for awards here tonight?
Well, we submitted an elementary school that's on Meeting Street. It used to be known as a Courtney School. Now it's known as Charleston Progressive Academy. And it was part of a major program for reconstruction of downtown schools by the school district that was really precipitated by concerns over the earthquake readiness of downtown schools. And it is an interesting project in that it involves the restoration of a mid-century modern building, which that in itself is kind of interesting. The other part of it is
was that the school that the louvers got taken down? Is that right?
It certainly is.
I like those louvers. I wish they had not come down.
Well, we We have our preferences about that too, but you know, the thing that we pivoted to on that project was that, interestingly enough, the founder of our firm, who came to practice in architecture in Charleston in the mid 1950s, had worked for a fellow named Augustus Constantine, a Greek immigrant architect in Charleston, who had designed that building. And Mr. Leolio, when he was fresh out of school and had moved to Charleston, was actually on Gus Constantine's staff at the time that building was designed. So we have an old rendering of the original design with Mr. L's signature on it. So that was interesting. The Louvre conundrum was a later episode in the evolution of a highly public design process.
Well, good deal. Well, we're almost out of time. How can folks get more information about Leolio Architecture?
Well, if I had my marketing people here, they would direct you to Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and probably several other avenues of social media. But the best thing to do would be to seek me out.
All right, good deal. Well, we have been talking with Jay White with Leolio Architecture. Good luck with the awards tonight.
Thank you so much.
I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine here at the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Design and Service Awards here in downtown Charleston. Now we're talking with Kevin Hortdorfer with Enough Pie. How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm well, thank you.
Kevin, your firm Enough Pie is up for an award here tonight. Talk about the service that you folks provide to the architecture community here in Charleston.
Sure. Well, Enough Pie is based in the Upper Peninsula, and it's a nonprofit organization that uses creativity to empower and connect the citizens. So we do small and large-scale projects, from small pop-up art installations to large-scale art collaborations and community gatherings, to bring people together and create a sense of place, as well as community events. Mm-hmm. And some of those manifest themselves into long-term architectural projects, and some of them are small-scale, more temporary in nature.
Can you name any specific events that Enough Pie has organized that our listeners should know about?
Sure. Well, we have a yearly art event that's called Awakening. So this is going to be our fourth year this coming spring. This year, it's focused on King Tides. So it'll be multiple sites on the Upper Peninsula that have an educational component, as well as an installation component, as well as an artistic component, as well as an architectural component, where you can learn about high tides and coastal flooding, as well as be immersed in the idea of what might happen in Charleston.
Hmm. Interesting. And we've certainly had a lot of those king tides. I think I'm not sure anyone really had heard that term until recently.
Correct. And so part of it is education related as well, just getting information out to citizens in low-lying areas about what the future holds. Mm-hmm. And also looking at cities that have dealt with this in the past, whether it be Amsterdam and the Netherlands, and learn from how they do it over there.
Mm-hmm. Is there a solution to this king tide problem?
It's going to be a compilation of different solutions in order to make it work for Charleston. Charleston's a unique place just because of the landscape and what will happen when sea level rise and king tides come in. So even being on the two different rivers is going to have two different effects for coastal flooding.
How can folks learn more about Enough Pie?
The easiest way is through social media or our website, enoughpie.org. Or we are on Instagram and Facebook.
And is there a meaning behind your firm name, Enough Pie?
Enough Pie, there is enough pie for everyone. Mm-hmm. So everybody should have a seat at the table and everybody should have a voice.
Well, very good. Well, we have been talking with Kevin Hortdorfer with Enough Pie. His firm is up for an award here at the AIA Charleston Design and Service Awards. Good luck with that, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and we're talking with intern architect LaShawn Key with Novus Architects. How are you doing, LaShawn?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Just fine, thanks. LaShawn, I understand that that you were part of the committee that was evaluating the different projects here at the AIA Charleston Design and Service Awards?
Yes, sir. I actually sat in on the jury review. We didn't do it in-house. We had a firm out of town come review it to eliminate the bias and all, but we did sit on it. And it was very interesting to sit on this and watch. This is my first AIA Awards. And just to see the process that went behind reviewing all the projects, why they won whatever award that they won, it was very enlightening.
Talk about the process a little bit.
So it was very interesting. It came down to I think we had 12 slides or 12 images of your work, and you had to show that the best way you could with a paragraph to talk about the work. So what helped me understand it a little more is the process, being able to see the process, the project restraints, because it's nice to have a shot of a building that looks great, but sometimes you need to tell the whole story of why it is great. Mm-hmm. Maybe there were some site constraints, maybe there were some constraints within the city with the board or something like that you had to overcome. So it's nice to be able to see some of the projects show those things, and the projects that didn't, to see how they fared out with the jury.
Mm-hmm. And LaShawn, you are an intern architect. What does that mean?
I am not a licensed architect, but I am working on that. I have just about finished my IDP hours, my intern hours, and I am now studying to pass my exams. Mm-hmm. And once I complete those exams and my IDP hours, I will be a licensed architect.
Gotcha. So you've got a bachelor's degree in architecture at this point?
I have a master's degree in architecture from Savannah College of Art and Design. Go Bees. And I'm just about finished my IDP hours. I have about 100 more hours to go.
Gotcha. And every architect has to go through this internship process. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Before they can become licensed.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, good luck with that. And thanks so much for moving up from Savannah to be here in Charleston.
Yes, thank you. I love Charleston. It's a great city, and we're looking to make our permanent roots here, hopefully.
Well, that's great. Well, we've been talking with intern architect, soon to become a licensed architect, LaShawn Key with Novus Architects here at the AIA Charleston Design and Service Awards. Thanks so much, LaShawn.
Thank you.
I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and we're here at the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Design and Service Awards here at the South Carolina Aquarium right on Charleston Harbor. And now we're talking with one of the award winners, Rob Turner with Charleston Engineering. How you doing, Rob?
Oh, pretty good. Thank you.
Rob, you are your firm is up for a service award tonight. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. It's Ace Mentors is the group I'm with that's getting the award, and Ace Mentors is a mentor group in the local high schools where we bring in a team of mentors. These are professional people that volunteer their time. Every other week for the spring semester, and we teach them about ACE, architecture, construction, and engineering. And once we give them the basics, then we do a design project with them. Like one year we did a micro house, and we teach them how to design the different engineering and architecture and construction tasks. We take them on a construction site, an architect's office, and then we have a big banquet at the end of the year where they present their designs to the community.
And this is for high school students?
Yes, we have a scholarship available. We just want to get more kids into the A&E fields. Yeah.
Right, and they might not get that kind of exposure just with the regular math and science classes that they might have in high school.
Absolutely. A lot of these kids learn what an architect does, and they say, hey, I want to be this, you know. It's pretty neat to see the light bulbs come on, you know, when you're teaching them about architecture and engineering and construction science.
How long has the ACE mentor program been in existence?
This is our sixth year. We started with one school and now we're up to three schools and we'll probably expand to four schools soon.
Yeah. What schools are involved?
We're in Stahl High, St. John's, and Burke.
Very good. And any success stories in those years?
Well, we had this one kid the first year, and it was a good special kid, good friend of mine, and he got a full ride to the Citadel for electrical engineering. It was neat.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, how can folks learn more about the ACE Mentor Award and Charleston Engineering?
Go to acementor.org and then look for the Charleston chapter. And right now we're looking for mentors. We're looking for engineers in particular, mechanical and electrical, and we need funding donations as well.
Okay, great. Well, we've been talking to Rob Turner with Charleston Engineering, and his firm is up for an award tonight, a design and service award here at the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's awards ceremony going on here right at in Charleston Harbor at the South Carolina Aquarium. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thank you.
I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine here at the AIA Charleston Design and Service Awards, and now we're talking with Stuart Barber with McMillan, Pasden, and Smith Architecture. How you doing, Stuart?
Very good.
Stuart, you are an architect?
I am.
And how long have you been practicing architecture?
About 10 years.
About 10 years. Mm-hmm. And are you new to Charleston, or have you been here a while?
I've been here for about 15 years.
15 years?
Not new, too new.
Well, very good. Your firm, McMillan, Pasden, Smith, is up for, has several projects that you folks have submitted for awards here tonight. Talk about one or others.
We submitted for a couple of them, that's right, and we won one for 400 Meeting, which is a student housing building on Meeting Street. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of part of a new, I guess, a new era of Meeting Street, if you can describe it that way. There's a lot of buildings going up at the same time as we were. And it's got a little bit more contemporary feel, but we tried to, and you know, as a firm, when we do a project in Charleston, we try to not disrupt the fabric of the city and keep what we all hold dear to heart when we do stuff, which is kind of breaking down the scale of the building, paying attention to the pedestrian, and doing things the responsible way. But despite that, in this area, it was such a new development. There was warehouses there, and it was really a way to get into Charleston without, until you get there. It was a lot of nothingness. So it's really good that it's being redeveloped. So what we did, we just tried to break it down and do what we could with the budget we had.
What part of Meeting Street is 400 Meeting Street?
It's not Upper Meeting Street. It would be below where you would get on 26.
Okay.
So really close to, if you're familiar with Charleston, really close to where the new buildings are going up, where the Post and Courier is, and the new it's right across the new Holiday Inn.
And this is student housing, is that right?
It's student housing, so budget was a concern. Mm-hmm. We use some traditional materials, brick and siding, in different ways. The siding we took to, of course, fiber cement, which is what most people use nowadays for siding. But we did it in a little bit different way. Resulted in a checkerboard pattern, which some people liked, some people didn't. But that's okay. That's what's going to happen in a city like Charleston. And we feel that it's really paying attention to the scale and the breakdown of the buildings. And that's what we did well with the buildings.
How do you as an architect because it's so easy to become passionately involved with a project, how do you stay kind of in the middle of the road as far as not getting upset when people want to change your project?
That's a good question. Well, we all went to architecture school, so we learned that the hard way before we ever got out and had a real client. And to be honest with you, school can be a little bit harder than the real world, but not in every case. We tend to have thick skins, and what it really boils down to is if you're not doing what your client wants, then you are not accomplishing the project that you need to do. So, you know, perception is reality. It doesn't matter what you as the architect thinks the client should want. It's what they want. So if you're not satisfying them, then you're not doing your job. So we have to put all those factors into consideration.
And you mentioned student housing. Is this student housing different from what, you know, maybe the dorm that I lived in when I was going to school in the 80s?
Absolutely. Most of them, actually all of them, are four bedroom, individually rented, and they all have desks associated with their bedrooms. In fact, there could be people that do not know each other that are living in this. Of course, we don't have really a lot of control over that arrangement, but that's the way they're designed. So there's a living room, four bedrooms with study places in each bedroom. And it's everybody pays rent. Not every apartment pays rent, so it's a little different.
Architects have to submit their projects for approval to the Board of Architectural Review here in downtown Charleston. Has there ever been a project that just gets green-lighted right off the bat, or do you expect changes in every project? Do you almost anticipate the changes that are going to be asked?
Well, you know, the BAR is a great part of the city. And we as architects appreciate it more than probably gets voiced a lot more often. It's a group of really intelligent people that kind of drives the architecture of the city. So, of course, we want to be on board with that. And sometimes you see eye to eye, sometimes you don't, but that's okay. It's just part of doing business here. For 174 meeting, which is another project we submitted for, that one had a little bit easier time, honestly, than the 400 Meeting Street project. Because it was a little bit more traditional in its scope and materials, and it's they're both very successful projects in how they address the city, and I think ultimately that's why we had the success with both of them.
Well, how can folks get in touch with McMillan Pasden Smith Architecture?
Go to our website, www.mcmillanpasdensmith.com, and there's plenty of ways to get in touch with us on there.
All right, great. We've been talking with architect Stuart Barber with McMillan Pasden Smith Architecture, and good luck with the awards tonight.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to take a couple of minutes do something that we don't normally take time to do, and that is to promote one of our websites, which is called tryaninteriordesigner.com. tryaninteriordesigner.com, and we launched this website in 2016, and it's been going really, really well. We usually spend this time talking and interviewing the advertisers, the companies that you see in Charleston Home and Design Magazine, but we had a couple of extra minutes this week, and so I wanted to take a moment to talk about tryaninteriordesigner.com. With the holidays upon us, you may be feeling the stress of getting your house ready for friends and family and so forth. And something that a lot of people don't think about, and that is to reach out and get some help from a professional interior designer. And you can, a lot of people don't really know what an interior designer can do to help them. They have a vague idea of what an interior designer does, that they come in and they tell you how to, or they show you how to arrange your furniture and so forth. And they really do a lot more than that. But at tryaninteriordesigner.com, you visit this website. It's associated with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and we have a list of local interior designers that can help you with really any aspect of your home. And the slogan that we use is, when building, remodeling, or improving your home, don't go it alone. And an interior designer can really help you, and you don't have to spend a lot of money with an interior designer either. But on tryaninteriordesigner.com, you can search. There's several different things that you can do. You can search by room to get inspiration, and that includes, we've got amazing photographs of local interior designers that have helped homeowners in the kitchen, in the bathroom, in the living room areas, in the bedroom, dining room, even outdoor areas, which are becoming very, very popular these days. And I kind of equate hiring an interior designer to going to get your hair cut. And you don't most people don't cut their own hair. And if they did, they probably would get some strange looks. Most of us go and we have a professional who styles our hair. And then we get compliments afterwards. Oh, you got your hair cut, or doesn't your hair look so nice, or that kind of thing. And what do? We say thank you, as if we were responsible for it somehow. It's the hairstylist, it's the stylist that's doing all the heavy lifting and making you look good. And that's what an interior designer can do to help you. Friends and family will visit your house, and they'll compliment you, and they'll notice the different parts of your house that an interior designer has helped you with, and they'll say, "Oh, this is so beautiful." And what do? You get to take credit. You get to say thank you, as if you did it yourself. And an interior designer, working with an interior designer, you can be as involved or not involved as you would like. And anything from picking paint colors, for example. You know, it's so easy to paint inside your house, but no one wants to do the work twice. And you don't want to get those looks from people or friends or family who just don't really think the paint colors that you chose were the best choices. And you can meet with an interior designer and they can help you choose the paint colors that will flow seamlessly from one room to another. Another big thing that interior designers can help homeowners with is avoiding costly mistakes. And the reality is, it's very, very tempted to kind of cut corners and, oh, I'm going to order this or, this product online, and then you get it here, and it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit your kitchen or your bathroom or your dining room. And then you have to worry about having to ship it back. You know, just having a relationship with an interior designer where you could make a quick phone call and say, hey, I'm going to text you over a photograph of something that I'm thinking about. They're experts. They're professionals. And they can take a look at that and say, that's not going to fit, or that's not going to work with the style that you've got in your house. They'll tell you the truth and help you avoid making costly mistakes. And probably the biggest thing is livability. You want to get the most out of your house. You want the most comfort and the most enjoyment and the most pride that you can generate for living at your house. And that's where an interior designer can really help you, is to really just make your house the best it can be. So don't go it alone. We really want you to try an interior designer, and just visit tryaninteriordesigner.com. There's also a special on tryaninteriordesigner.com where you can receive 2 hours of design time for only $100. So that's it's like a half price offer. So visit tryaninteriordesigner.com. Give it a shot. If you hire an interior designer once, a homeowner will usually hire an interior designer again when there's a project that comes up. It's that good an experience. I'm talking about a home.
been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show and the Custom Home and Remodel Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit newhomecharleston.com, Charleston's online home show, and home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you.